being in the remodel business, we find consumers, customers, clients wanting to remodel areas of their homes. And we find that many will talk to us about just, you know, can we just put some new cabinets in and some new countertops, or a fresh coat of paint, or maybe some new floors. And when we get there and we begin to look and investigate, we find that there are times and moments that we just can't put your pretty cabinets on the walls. Because behind what the cabinets would be hanging from would be a termite-infested 2x4. We can't just throw new floors down, because the floors that are original, that are there, the subfloors have begun to wave and maybe deteriorate. Fresh coat of paint on the wall is just not going to be everything that it needs at the moment. We already see softness in the drywall. We already see bubbling issues taking place. And see, if we were to go and redo your home in the fashion that you would ask us to do, and we would leave, you would find yourself either immediately or down the road in a place of disappointment or confusion. Sometimes we go in and we try and convince that there's more that's needed to get done what it is that you want done. I've got to make a bigger mess now. It's going to take longer. It may cost more. Can you close those doors? It may cost more. But I wouldn't be doing you justice. I wouldn't be living up to my name if I was to do it the way you wanted it without presenting the alternative. In fact, there are times that we have to turn away and say we can't do what it is that you're asking, because I won't be able to warranty what we do. What I'm finding is in church, in contemporary church, we find many saints coming and calling out to God for a remodel. God, we don't like the old house that we're living in. We need an update. We want to add some things. Let's put in this deck. Or put in that gazebo. We come to church going, God, I'd like a remodel. I need a fresh coat of paint, if you will. Because the appearance of what I'm professing is beginning to fade. And I need to freshen up a little. Wonder how many of us sit in that particular seat right now. And I'm hoping that after that worship segment, that you were able to identify your filthiness, that you were able to recognize your lack, your sense of vanity in the purity of His presence, that without Him, we're but nothing. So I wonder how many of us are sitting this morning. We've come, we got up, we got dressed. Some of us put on some of the nice things that we have. Some of us thought we were, and they end up still having holes in them. But we dress as nice as we... I'm not down in the holes in your jeans. Y'all relax. She's got them on. I'm married to her. But we have this tendency to come in our Sunday best, if you will, and we walk in and we're not puffing on our smokes as we walk through the door, and we're not screaming and cussing the kids as we walk through the door. Not that that hasn't happened in the... We walk holding hand in hand, husband and wives, as if everything is fine, but yet yesterday it wasn't. And the day before that, it was kind of wrecked. And the week before that, it was kind of upside down. But when we present ourselves to others within the walls of the church, the safe house, if you will, when we present ourselves here to one another, we want to present ourselves in a complete format. I don't want you to know that I'm broken. You ask me how I am. I say I'm good. And deep down inside, you struggle and you're pulling this piece and you're moving that piece and you find yourself rearranging your own furniture. You're placing it where you feel that it should go. You're prioritizing the steps in your life. In the manner in which you feel is effective. We're asking Jesus to clean us up. Can you put some new cabinets on this wall? Knowing that wall is adjacent to the master bedroom. Well, if I do that, these boards are going to have to come out. Now I've got to infiltrate this room. Well, I don't want you to go in that room because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost me more if you get in that room. Come on. I told you, if you will just let me work through this, I'm trying to give you some identification processes so that when we get into Scripture, it won't be a shock to you. I've already softened you up for the moment. Well, I don't want you to go to the bathroom and take care of that, but I want my floors replaced. God, if you'll just handle this part, I'll deal with the rest. And then when God comes in and God begins to reorchestrate things in your life and begins to move things and placing furniture in different areas that works best for that moment, it works best for the environment that he has been given for the moment. He said, if I can just but put the Holy Spirit in the corner of your living room by the lampstand just for the moment, maybe he can begin to work you later on down the road, but you don't like the color of the shade, so you want it put in the hallway, in the back corner where it's never turned on and it may not draw attention. Come on, church. God, I want you to restore. I want you to remodel. I need you to do some things in my house, but I don't want to pay the price for to do a complete remodel. I just... And God is the whole time, God is saying, wait a minute, you don't understand, but the value in the house that you live in at the present condition in which it stands is only worth the dirt in which it is setting on. You missed it. The only thing of value to you, the thing that I seen value in you was the dirt in which I formed you from. You can't come to me and say fix this or fix that without allowing me to fix it all. I created it. I formed it. I own. We are just mere renters. God is saying, oh, I want to help. I want to put a fresh coat of paint on your wall, but I've got to do some others. There are some hidden things that you don't see. Maybe you don't recognize because of the immature level in which you're coming and asking for. We are asking God to fix this when in reality we're asking Him not to do that. If I ask God to take care of, you know, my anger issues, maybe He'll leave my pride alone. We all walk through life with the idea of what we need. Came this morning with your need. God doesn't want to just fix your house. He wants to own the property.
Yes, that's good.
But because of what it cost you, you can't surrender. What if some of the things in your life right now are disarrayed because you won't let Him do what needs to be done? Man, the Holy Spirit's nosy. He's one of those people I don't like to invite to the house, because instead of maybe you're not like that. I am. I have limitations in my home to where you will ever go. Most cases it's living room. You can encroach the bathroom, but it better be a necessity, and it better be the first one you come to, which is right by the living room. Are you with me, church? Did we prime the pump? Can we get serious now? If you've got your Bibles, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Tom, are you struggling? Never mind, I brought my Bible. I can open it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 14, if I can. You ready? I'll wait. Now, are y'all ready? Now y'all say you're ready because you see it on the screen. Y'all are something else. I'm joking. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, means something's happened prior, so this is what we need to do because of what has gone on. Because He has already died for us and rose for us. From now on, We regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know Him, thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone, I love the fact that there is no pre-qualification. It doesn't mean that if there is anyone in Christ that has been in Christ for a week or a year or 10 or 30 or 5 minutes. It says if anyone is in Christ, he is a remodeled creation. He has been refurbished. He is now restored. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Oh, let me finish. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And now then, we are ambassadors. Now then, we represent ourselves. Now then, we live our life according to our own desires. Now then, we will do as we should please to do. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, not living for ourselves, but living for Him. We are ambassadors for Christ, not representing us or our family or our tradition or our heritage, but we are representing Christ as though God were pleading through us. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God is pleading through us. We are representing Christ as though God is pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I've often wondered about this restoring and this restoration part and what we just went through on remodeling and things of that nature. It kind of brings me back to the New Year's resolution. Because is that not what you're trying to do every year? Most of you have given up on New Year resolutions because it's always been a flop. But is that not what we do on New Year's Eve? We make New Year's resolutions. Some of us are so into New Year's resolutions that we begin in October. This is what we're doing, and this is what we're wanting, and this is what we're wanting, and this is what we're wishing for. Because 99% of our resolutions are nothing but a wish. They're never a desire. I've taught you before, desire is the fuel to obtain. A wish is a hope on a couch. Man, I wish I had a couple million dollars. And I don't get up and do anything about it. Desire to have causes you to move in the direction in order to obtain. So our New Year's resolutions, have you ever considered the fact on why your New Year's resolutions have a tendency to fall off by Valentine's Day? By February the 14th, man, everything that you had already considered in October, November, and December has fallen out from under your feet by February. Why? Because we want certain things, but we want certain things without changing anything else. Can I tell you that if there is anything in your life that you're wanting changed, it will affect other areas and other parts of your life. It's the same thing with Christ. If you're desiring to become a deeper walk with God, if you're desiring to be a more disciplined disciple of Jesus Christ, there are going to be areas in your life that's going to have to be changed, and they're going to have to be changed whether you want them to or whether you do not want them to. You cannot walk, brothers and sisters, the same way that you have walked for years. Now that you have come to the understanding and the knowledge of God, it is now pressed upon your heart that there is a requirement that you will stand upright, that you will be the righteousness of God, and that it will call you to walk in proper order. But we are so quick to turn away from the additional changes because of the cost. And I want to lose weight every year. But I can't get my sister to change her habits in baking me brownies. I just wanted you to get that peel down. Because it's a hard pill. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of them big pills. What's some of them big pills? What's that one pill? It looks like my thumb that you take. Fish oil. I don't know how you even swallow that thing. You got to grease that thing up with just everything you got in the fridge just to get it down. So I'm just trying to help you this morning. Take your fish oil. I don't take it. But have you ever wondered why your New Year's resolution never comes to pass? It's because you're not wanting to change everything that's required. You only move in part. You want to learn how to swim, but you're only encouraged to put your toe in the water. Boy, it should have been Wednesday night, because y'all are just as tight as a banjo string. Now, this is good food for the soul this morning on a Sunday. This is a large net being cast up over the populations of this world that needs to come to realize that there is no, I will serve God, but I did it my way. You can't just go see daddy any old way you want to go see daddy. Now, if he calls you, you better come running with everything you got or whatever it is that you're lacking. If you got to run up in there naked when daddy says, come here, you better be on point, toeing the line. Yes, sir. New Year's resolutions. Y'all don't mind if I tend to some notes, do you? What Paul is saying here in this text is who lives should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Some maybe just, you're tossing this around probably even right now in your heads going, Pastor, I don't even know what any of this remodel and New Year's resolution has to do with anything that you just read. It's because you're not reading your text. Live inside your text. Live inside your daily devotionals. I mean, if that is your driving force of growing a relationship with Christ, is that you take 1 hour every morning and you do a ritualistic devotional, then when you get in it, live in that text. Live in that text with an open mind and a broken spirit, that the Holy Spirit may enlighten your understanding. I believe that what the church is doing today, we are calling out, we are desiring things of the Spirit to fulfill fleshly desires. We want God's glory, but we only want it in parts and in portions. And I will do this publicly because this was given to me in worship this morning. There should be a point to where we are calling out for the glory of God in all aspects in our life. Because it's not that God's glory will kill us personally, that we die and lose our life as we consider it, but it will cause us to die in our spirit, that it may be surrendered unto God in whole. So when we are, I've taught y'all, be careful to pray for the glory. We was just talking, I've taught you, and I've sat here and I'm laying in worship this morning and I'm thinking about this glory of God being exposed to humanity. And in that sense, don't ever call upon the glory of God in humanity or through carnality. But when your kingdom mindset and your heart and your spirit and your soul is in line to mature and to go into the deeper things of God, yes! Yes! Ask for God's glory. Because it's then God's glory will come and infiltrate the very hard things in your heart. He will find the rooms that you don't want Him in. And He will go through and sweep under the beds that you have gone and swept things under. He will begin to roll back rugs that you have flipped up in the foyer and swept things under it. God will find the things that needs to be killed, and He will kill them if you open up. So I repent of that statement being so bullheaded in the stance not to call upon God's glory. But I caution you to do it with your spirit. Dare not think that your carnality can stand in the presence of a holy God. We are desiring to put on the garment of Jesus Christ while still wearing our favorite shirts. Can I tell you that your shirt don't go with that suit? You can't run to God with hatred and bitterness in your heart, expecting Him to hear and to deliver. He says, when you bring offering, if you think that someone has something against you, take it to your brother. Y'all must not have read that the same way I used to read it for years. I used to think that when I offered it up to God, if I had an issue with someone, I had to go and correct it. It's not what it says. It says if you think that someone else has an issue with you. Boy, see what I mean? Whew. This is why, man, Jesus ain't no, he's not no microwave. He's slow roasting. You get up on his altar, you can rest assured, you're going to be there for at least 6-7 hours, slow cooking. That roast's going to be ready when you get home, baby. And he is searching the deep things of your heart. Man, the next time you go to bring an offering to God, and yeah, I'm talking about bringing your money at this point. You go to bring money to the altar and you're wanting God to stand behind his word. Do you have something that you think somebody's got against you? You better go and you better check it. It's a sacrifice, isn't it? Can I challenge you this morning without you getting upset at me and running out because you're thinking I'm trying to dig into your wallets? If it's not a sacrifice for you to put in here, you ain't putting in enough.
Come on.
It's a sacrifice. Man, if I find myself just being able to give to God because it's comfortable, what am I really giving him? It's easy to show up on a Sunday morning. Man, Wednesdays has got me tight. What are you really giving him? I'll be a part of this ministry because they only do it on one day a month. But this other one, he's requiring 3 days a week. What are you really giving him? I know you have a life. And you're trying to squeeze big old Jesus in that little bitty old spot that you got lined out. Man, if some of you seen your calendars and bar graphs, you would be disgusted. Yep. And if you weren't disgusted, I would question the love that you have for him. Because your line graphs would begin showing, these little bar graphs would begin showing. God's got this little purple sliver and everything else. They've got this yellow and this green and this blue and this black. And it's all loaded. Man, I'm busy. Holy Spirit, help me. We are choosing this scripture. We're choosing this scripture while denying that scripture. That's the contemporary church. Pastor, I thought this is what it is. What if? What if God's trying to change you? And what if you're not letting him? What if you're still living your life and not his? We are praying this way while believing another way. We're praying for prosperity, and all the time, what we're truly praying for is recognition amongst our peers. Come on, church, this is going to sting this morning. We're asking for this while really wanting that. The contemporary church is going through what I consider a budget restoration. So you don't want to come be a part of this church because the word's too hard. Because the word's too offensive. Because the word's too long. Boy, y'all couldn't have handled it back in the day. Y'all sit here and throw stuff out your mouth and I laugh at you. Man, I wish I lived in Jesus' day. No, you don't. You couldn't have stood out there from sun up to sundown listening to somebody read from the scroll. You'd have got tired and wanted to sit down. And they'd have probably broke your kneecap with a staff. You revered him. But you got to have comfy chairs. AC got to be working. Music's got to be just right, Michelle. It's got to be on point for me to get into the mood of worship. We're wanting new things to be put in to cover up our appearance of the old, but we aren't replacing what's bad. We're just giving the appearance of it. The church has the appearance of God, but deny the power thereof. You want to believe in Jesus Christ, but you can't bring yourself to believe in miracles. Come on. You want to lay hands on the sick, and you want them to recover. But you don't believe being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit. By Jesus. So little change happens inside the church because we aren't willing to live for God in order to be changed by Him. And you've got life planned. You've got every step of your life worked out. So much so that the arrogancy shines through at nighttime when you roll over and set your alarm to go off at 7 in the morning. Who said you waking up at 7? I said it this morning in hopes to get here early enough. Little did I know, I could have got here 5 minutes before service and this could have took off. Pastor, you getting religious? No, I ain't getting religious. I'm just telling you that you serve somebody that created you and you better well start. We're asking the Holy Spirit to help us live out our carnal appetites. Not really living it out for the glory of God. Listen, I'm not picking on you, and I'm not trying to raise attention to the fact that in life we have goals. We have anticipations in life. Somewhere that we would hurry up and graduate and get married and have children and get a job. Once we get a job, we look at it and go, boy, I got to be dumber than a 5-pound bag of bricks. Who said this? What? I'm not saying that we're not to have some type of something set in our life to go out. I'm not saying that. This is what I'm saying. I believe God's word so much so that this is how He set that up. He said, if you will go after the kingdom first. Y'all missed it. Then all of your other anticipations and goals and dreams and fantasies, all of those things shall be added. But we won't do Him first because we're busy. Pastor, you really preach it like old time gospel. Good. If it's got your attention and your feet hurting, and if your heart is so tight right now that you don't feel like you can breathe, good. Then the Holy Spirit is working on you. Amen. It's not until we die that we live. The word says, lest a grain of wheat fall to the ground. We're not willing to die, but yet we want to live. asking to God for a fresh coat of paint on our houses, all the while termites are eating away at your structure. Bitterness and strife and gossip. And come on, see, I'm not pinging you for your addictions. I'm not pinging you on that. I'm pinging you on the things. I'm pinging you on the things. Addictions come by way of sin. These other things come by way of your mouth. It's not what goes in your heart that defiles you. It's what comes out of it. God's not looking to do a budget remodel. He sees the root of the problem, and in order for him to warranty the work, we must be willing to tear down ourselves and start all over. How many of you would like to have a God warranty on you? Listen, a God guarantee for real. God guarantee just says, you die, I'll let you live. That's a God guarantee. See, when you die, you're no longer bound to sin. Does it mean you won't sin? Nope, didn't say that. That's not what I said. I said you're no longer bound to sin. That means you don't have to live in sin every day. Some of you need to stop letting the enemy convince you of this thing and say, no, you have to do it, because if you don't do it, then this is going to happen. Or if you don't do it, you're not going to be happy. And if you don't do it, you better stop listening to the ways of the enemy. Isaiah 1:5 says that the head, the whole head is sick. The entire heart is faint. God don't want to replace portions. He said the whole head is sick. You're sick-minded. That's why he says to renew your mind daily. Ezekiel says that I'm not going to give you just a heart, a piece. I'm not going to fix the heart that you have. He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. Yeah. Ephesians tells us to renew our minds. I believe we must ask ourselves these questions. Is God living in us? Or are we living our lives in His name? Christian. Is He living in you? Christian, is He living in you? Or are you just living your life in His name? Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I live how I want to live, but I'm a Christian. Don't judge me because I'm a Christian. Can I tell you this? If you tell me you're a Christian, the Bible gives me the authority to judge you. Right. Y'all don't like that.
Come on.
You don't want to hear that.
True.
You'll know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
Don't bring it. I don't care. Come on, Mr. Religion, stand up. Talk to me this morning, please. I feel like a good fight. you think they've done? When you walk like you shouldn't walk and somebody come and talk to you and you rebelled and you said, me, 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 me. And they brought somebody else and you rebelled. Me, 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 me. They took you before the church. Me, 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 me. They said goodbye. Boy, this would be an empty church. Yes, Holy Spirit, because you're all fighting your pride. None of you want to be corrected. You all want to stand in your own fictitious truth. Take it up with Him. Just take it up with Him. Look, I don't want to come at you personally. Take it up with Him. What if God is telling us this morning that He wants to reduce us down to the original value? See, you think you're valuable in God now. You were better off in dirt. I'm going to have church with you sitting over here. Just hold this. You're fine. Hold this. Come on. We're preaching right now. See, you live in your life. And you think what you're doing is benefiting the value in which He sees of you. And He says on your best day, you are but filthy rags. There, you have no value to offer Him outside of the initial value that He placed in dirt when He decided one day that He would stoop down and that He would gather you in His hands and He would form you, and He found the value in what He formed with His own hands and went, oh, that's not enough value. What if I come and cut your air off? Now is it valuable? Yes. See, you'd lost it again. You still think it's you. Value is what someone perceives. You're missing it. You're missing it. We still think it's us. We still think that, man, He just values me so much. No, He values His breath. He saw opportunity in the dirt. See, if it had been me, I'd have went, I'd have crossed my fingers and everything. Man, I really hope this works. But He knew that He was setting it up for an opportunity that His Spirit may dwell within us and seal us. Anybody canners? What happens if you don't get a proper seal? What happens if you don't allow Him to live in you? You are sealed by His Spirit, not by your works. Not by your hopes. Yeah. Not by what you think He will do. Yeah. What if He wants to bring us back to the original value? What if He's telling you right now He doesn't want to cover you up? He wants to replace what's in you. But Pastor, will He? His grace is sufficient, and He will cover you for a while. Don't put a time limit on that covering. Because He said there's a day that you will seek and not find. How do you know that right now is your guaranteed next breath? Who are you to believe such heresy? Who's bewitched you? You live because he says you live. What if he's been wanting, what if you've been wanting him to do a partial remodel? And he's wanting to tear you down and build you the way he intends. The author and the finisher, the architect. Because he knows what's best for you. You have no clue. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. Life is but a vapor. Nothing that you acquire, nothing that you flaunt, nothing in which causes you to stand prideful will go with you. Your sheepskin will not make it past the first level. Your good deeds may not buy you the ticket to get on the bus. And your fancy dress might get you thrown out. I think God is looking to just flatten what's been built. I think God's after a rebuild contract. I think he's in negotiations. Some of you don't like it because it's not favorable to you. Boy, have you ever had to sign a contract that wasn't favorable for you? But you done it because you had to. Can I tell you this morning, there ain't going to be any better contract you'll ever sign than to sign one with him. Don't try negotiating. You're going to lose. It's not going to be favorable at all. The outcome won't be favorable. The verbiage doesn't look so good right now. But when it's all done in spit shine and your house has been cleaned, it will pay off, I promise. What little investment you put into to gain such a return? I know you don't want to hear none of this. Pastor, get up out of my kitchen. Get your feet off my coffee table. Get your hand out of my soup bowl.